The marvels of the Lord are always multiplied, and they are most glorious when they do not seem to be so glorious. And this we see in the life of the saint whose feast we celebrate on this last day of January, which also is a month since the loss to us in this world of His Holiness Pope Benedict XVI. For today we celebrate one of the greatest saints of the 19th century and one of the most popular saints of the 20th century, St. John Bosco. St. John Bosco was the only child of a very poor family, and his father died when he was a little boy. His mother, who is now Venerable Marguerite Bosco, she is one who raised him. And she did the very best she could. The local parish priest helped in his upbringing and also helped by providing monies for his education. His education was most important because he had a vocation to the priesthood. And so he paid for him to go to the seminary in Chieti and then later on in Turin, where he was ordained a priest at the beginning of the 1800s. So St. John Bosco, from a poor little child, a poor little innocent boy who would go to Mass every day and to communion as often as he was permitted in those days when Jansenism still ruled a good part of the church, he was to become a young and holy priest. And of course, birds of a feather flock together. St. John Bosco was good friends and a student of the great St. Joseph Cafasso, the moral theologian of the seminary of Turin, and also of St. Joseph Cottolengo, the St. Vincent de Paul of Turin, who founded the great Institute of Cottolengo, which even today is a magnificent city of mercy and love for the poor and the handicapped and the needy. So he learned good lessons from them as well, just as we see in the epistle of St. Paul to the Philippians. Whatever is good and just and holy and beautiful, learn from me. And so he did. He also had the desire and the hunger for young souls. And he, as a young priest, walking throughout the streets of Turin, saw the multitudes of young boys, most of them orphans, homeless, who got into trouble all the time, mostly because they were hungry, and thus they had to steal in order to eat. And they also, of course, were very, very much in danger for their souls, because the evil men that also roamed the streets would entice them to do evil things for them for the sake of food or clothing or money. So St. John decided to start something with the blessing of the other saints that he knew and also of the bishop, the Archbishop of Turin. And he began what eventually would become the Order of the Salesians of St. Francis de Sales of Don Bosco, which are very, very popular and known even today, even though they too, as everything else, has taken a downturn in these last 50 years. He, like St. Joseph Cottolengo, opened what is veritably a city where thousands of boys were to eventually dwell. But this did not come at one step. First, his mother and he opened a house, a farmhouse near Turin, where the boys came to live and to learn how to do different things, such as farming and being tailors and cobblers and so forth. But they soon ran out of room, and eventually the city of Don Bosco grew as well. He was also a mystic, because mystics are also practical people too. And practical people are also mystics too. They're not contrary one to the other. And like St. Joseph, he had most of his mystical experiences in dreams. He was so exact in his dreams that he dreamt later on when he was sending priests to the missions. He dreamt a map of South America and of the Amazon that no one up to that point had yet even imagined. And later on, they were to find out that he was correct and they were wrong, they who had the scientific means, but they did not have the knowledge from God. And he was given the grand prize of the cartographers of France because of the maps that he drew from the result of his dreams. He also had many dreams and visions of the Blessed Mother. And it was he, as a collect of today's Mass attests, particularly popularized, he did not start it, he popularized the devotion of Our Lady, Help of Christians, who was particularly invoked against the Muslims and the Masons. And she appeared to him and asked him to build a basilica in her honor, a shrine in her honor, and provided him in his dreams with the plans that were to be followed for the building of her church. And indeed, those plans were followed, and the great architects of that day vied one with the other to see this magnificent architecture that had come from the Mother of God. And it is the Basilica of Our Lady, Help of Christians, in Turin. The many, many things about his life we could go into are not necessary, for we can read for ourselves. But his life was filled with miracles, with charity, and with very great learning. Among other things, he wrote a very, very good book for parents, how they are to raise children. I don't know if it's found in English, but I'm sure someone has translated it somewhere. I have it in Spanish, but not in English. And his autobiography in Spanish is also a magnificent work of spirituality. St. John Bosco, who was very devoted to the Eucharist, to Our Lady, to the Mass, and to the priesthood, and from whose boys many, many priests and by now many saints have come, died in 1888. And he immediately became one of the greatest saints of the church and was canonized by Pope Pius XI of happy memory. Along with him, he founded a society for women, the daughters of Our Lady, of Mary, Help of Christians, with the great saint Santa Maria Mazzarella. And her order has also produced many saints. So today we give thanks to God for this great man, this great saint and priest of the 19th century, who is still with us, whose body is incorrupt, and whose vestments can be seen and are magnificent in the shrine in the Basilica of Our Lady, Help of Christians, in Turin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.